Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. We're going to empower you. That's what we like to do. And magical engineer Frank, he's ready. He's here. Mr. Garlic Man himself. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. We are going to be talking about sugar and inflammation it causes in the body and how you can avoid certain health problems by limiting or avoiding sugar. And we do have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi, righteous men and women in uniform, lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face. Hope you are too. And mind the time, it grows short. And today's devotional puts us in Joshua 1, verse 9, where it says, Have I not commanded thee, be strong and be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be you dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Wheresoever you go. Amen. I'll take it. Take me by the hand. Lead me, Father. I'm with you. And mine, sorry, it grows short because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the Quacker, new study saying three surprising links between sleep deprivation and female fertility issues. This is from the University of Washington. They say if you don't get enough sleep, it will negatively impact your fertility if you're female. This was in the Journal of Sleep Scientists, reported that women with insomnia, especially, at least four times more likely to have fertility issues. Women that work second shift, third shift, same problem there. Sleep problems change a woman's natural menstrual rhythm, causes a lot of complications, conception, with conception and even pregnancy. So sleep's that important. Moving along in the Quack Report. A health official said the United States experienced the worst flu season for children in the past 10 years. We're supposed to get a second wave of influenza, so brace yourself. Officials are saying that a second wave of our flu season, specialists in Pennsylvania are saying we're supposed to brace. Of course, they inflated the numbers of how many people died of the flu because they don't know how many people died of the flu, because when you go to the doctor, do they ever test you for flu? No. Sometimes they won't even test you for things like bronchitis or pneumonia, you know? So if they're not testing for these things, were they just lumping them all into one category and calling it flu? So that's why we just can't trust those numbers. But worst flu season, they said, for children, and second wave is on the way. Last but not least in the Quack Report, yes, Frank, the volume is okay. Frank's asking me if I can hear. Can you hear me? I'm fine over here. I'm just great. All right, so last but not least in the Quack Report, researchers find Western-style diet can impair your brain function. They say if you are on a high-fat, high-sugar diet, you are going to score the worst on a memory test. This is from researchers who tested people on those diets and gave them memory tests, and they kind of flunked them all. The findings are suggesting that the Western diet, not good. People who are on the Western diet, they have trouble regulating their diet. They have poor cognitive function, memory, recall. Because it affects the hippocampus of the brain, they're saying after a week on the Western-style diet, where you eat lots of chocolate and snacks and sugar and salt, it's harder to resist those types of foods, but it generates damage in the hippocampus of the brain and creates a vicious cycle of overeating. Well, we're going to talk about sugar first part of the show. So we're going to clean up the act, and we're going to be absolutely splendid. That's what we're going to do. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up, we are going to be talking about sugar and inflammation. You know, we always don't really think sugar's all that bad, especially when we think we don't eat that much, right? Oh, I'm just going to have a little bit. Well, science has figured out that refined sugar causes a chemical avalanche of changes metabolically to bring about inflammation in the body. Researchers at the University of Alberta, their facility of medicine in Canada, stated that even short bursts of sugar consumption, like around your holidays, can increase your risk of inflammation, particularly in the digestive system. So the consumption of sugar leads to a chemical-induced inflammation response, which can manifest within 2 days. So sugar can, it can dismantle your efforts of a balanced diet. Think about it. So this research was published in the Journal of Scientific Reports. So we're going to check it out and look and see if we can exercise some positive power over our health with controlling our food intake. Well, let's look at some of the things they were discussing in the report. They were talking about bowel disease because people don't usually hear that sugar can cause colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, or other types of inflammatory bowel disorders. So this would explain why foods and beverages with a lot of sweeteners can provoke a lot of inflammatory bowel symptoms and make them flare up. So if you are suffering from inflammation of the bowel, there are some things you might want to avoid. According to Dr. Helen Castile, University of Arkansas Medical Science, she said foods to avoid are your clear fluids, sugary fluids like soda, diet soda, Gatorade, Jell-O, milk because of the natural lactose, hard candy, chewing gum, artificial sweeteners because they act like a laxative. She also says avoid the sorbitol. It creates bowel dysfunction, and also fruit juice. So if you've got IBS, colitis, those foods really will bother you. So you got a lot of inflammation, and the inflammation probably came from a lot of sugar. Now, many foods that contain sugar can also convert to sugar, which pass through and draw from you more water and salt out of the system and tends to dehydrate you, and then you could get nausea or vomiting. So foods that produce a lot of gas, like your beans, cabbage, onions, those types of foods also encourage colon spasms. So coarse fruits and vegetables and whole grain cereals at this point would be difficult for you to digest if you're experiencing that. Any beverages with caffeine you should avoid because it works like a diuretic, which would further dehydrate you. And fried foods, convenience foods, fast foods are also bad and will contribute to a lot of bowel dysfunction. Here's a quote from Karen Madsen. She's a diet specialist, and she says, "These foods echo what many patients with bowel inflammation disorders have been saying for a long time. Small changes in their diet make their symptoms flare up. And it's been shown that the type of diet that you are on can change your susceptibility to disease. So to answer the question, how long before a change in the diet translates into an impact on your health, the answer is 2 days." End of quote. Well, same thing with, if you've got an allergy to a food, usually it happens within a day or two, as it makes about a lot of sense. Well, let's look at the reason why sugar can create a lot of disruption in the digestive system. According to the researchers at the University of Alberta Facility of Medicine, when you have these short bursts of sugar, it will change your gut bacteria, which significantly impacts the digestion of your food. A fiber-rich diet, foods with lots of fiber, these tend to be fuel and it's friendly fuel. It's friendly fuel, and it's friendly. It creates friendly bacteria. So if you get a lot of fiber, it creates friendly bacteria, and it's fuel to your cells. So diets with healthy fiber produce good bacteria, which produce short-chain fatty acids, and these are critical for a healthy immune system. So this is why sugar found in a candy bar can suppress your immune system for about 8 hours. The University of Alberta Facility of Medicine folks, they said this: high sugar intake with insufficient fiber in the diet produces bad microbes such as E. coli, which is associated with inflammation and poor immunity, end of quote. So sugar, it undermines. It really does. So high sugar in your diet will damage your intestinal tissue and can promote a defective immune response. Patients who avoid the sugar and eat foods promoting the short-chain fatty acids actually encourage the regeneration of the bowel with good flora. So this is a perfect example that shows people have positive power over their health with food, spices, and even medicinal herbs. Now, if you get a lot of diarrhea with IBS, sorry, my phone going off. If you get a lot of diarrhea with IBS, then I like to use slippery elm inner bark. Stops that and skinny minute. So you got tools. But you want to stay the course if you're making good healthy changes in the diet. The research team also stressed, the importance of abstaining from consuming sugar. So food binging with sugar on the weekend is going to sabotage your effort of all week long abstaining from sugar. So try not to do that. Karen says, changing someone's diet is one of the hardest things to do, even if you tell them it's going to fix their health problems. Oh, don't I know, right? And, you know, I'm no saint. I've been naughty from time to time, and then I pay the price. And I go, why did I do that? You know, I know better. So, you know, we've all been there, okay? But we just got to remind ourselves, hey, you know, this isn't going to happen today. We can't do that because I'm going to pay for it later. And here's the other thing that the researchers found. I thought this was interesting. The team said they discovered that there's this link between our gut floras and our cognitive function. There is a saying, all disease begins in the digestive tract, and it kind of makes sense. So the foods that we consume are converted into chemicals, and from that, hormones and enzymes, amino acids, and they all produce a support network of functions for the body. Karen says there is evidence that links bacteria present in the gut to neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Yep. So the inflammation caused by sugar consumption can actually create what she says is called permeability in the colon that causes bacteria to actually leave the colon and invade the rest of the body. You may know it as leaky gut syndrome. So, sugar causes inflammation. Inflammation causes leaky gut. So there you go. And here's some things in the news, because we've been hearing a lot about inflammation being linked to many diseases. And actually, medicine is now believing that inflammation is the first response that something's wrong. So medical science has figured out that if we lack a balance of the omega fatty acids in our foods, which contributes to inflamed tissue, and why is the healthy fat processed out of our prepackaged and fast foods? Because the healthy fat significantly reduces the shelf life, but it also gives food its flavor. So the fat's removed. It's replaced with chemicals, not only to preserve the product, but also to make it taste better. On average, it requires our prepackaged food manufacturers and fast food manufacturers to add about 18 unnatural ingredients to preserve the item and make it taste better. And so the list is kind of slightly shorter for frozen prepackaged stuff. Therefore, this just affirms that these foods are really not as healthy for your body as fresh foods would be. And so foods basically are the key. If you're looking for the, you know, panacea of health, it's what you're doing with your lifestyle. It's food. We all have in our body these hormone-like substances, the prostaglandins and leukotrienes, which tend to be made by a breakdown of enzymes, fatty acids, also known as arachidonic acid. So what you eat is going to determine if you have arachidonic acid and if you can make enough prostaglandins and leukotrienes. And if you can't make enough prostaglandins and leukotrienes, you're going to have health problems because these hormones carry the cell messengers which help regulate your immune system and inflammation responses. So we want to check your diet so if you can guard against having immune system problems and inflammatory diseases if you have the knowledge about what you should be eating and what you should be avoiding. Here's an example. If you eat a lot of meat and you use a lot of omega-6 vegetable oils, the highly processed vegetable oils, you're going to increase your risk of becoming ill with heart attack, thrombosis, stroke, arrhythmia, arthritis, inflammatory diseases, mood disorders, osteoporosis, and cancer. So if your diet now isn't balanced, you're going to create an imbalance, making more arachidonic acids, creating a disproportionate inflammatory response. So if this happens, you can try to counter the effect with maybe fish oil, the omega-3 fatty acids. They tend to block the leukotrienes, which are released by the body to destroy tissue, resulting in a lot of inflammation. So studies have shown that ginger root can block the inflammation response. And this is no doubt the reason you see a lot of ginger root included in things like topical creams and rubs to help reduce inflammation and improve range of motion and reduce pain. So let's look at some anti-inflammatory foods for a second. Now, since our diets tend to put 10 times the normal amount of omega-6 fatty acids in our body, creating a lot of inflammation, we can try to counter with some omega-3 foods. And you can reduce or eliminate the inflammation if you limit your meats, your sugar, and your starch, and you eat more of these foods: apples, black currant, fish like mackerel, sardines, or salmon, or use fish oil, garlic, ginger, onion, cayenne, pineapple, and sage. So these are going to help counter the inflammation. So you aren't really in control. You are, actually. You make decisions every day that impact your health. And we like to put health matters into the hands of our family doctor, though. So if we think about it, how much power we have with our diet to be healthy, we wouldn't need a family doctor. We would just need trauma care from time to time. But everyone has the power to change their health. You could change your health destiny with food, spices, and herbs. You have that power. These all contain the nutritional building blocks for health, and a change in your mindset can change your lifestyle, which impacts longevity and your quality of life. It's up to you. So if you're interested, call Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog. They have organic whole food herbal formulas to help boost immunity, cleanse organs of toxins, reduce inflammation, and also they have metabolic strengthening areas, herbs for weak areas. So you can utilize tools like that while you shift yourself to a healthier lifestyle, while you're transitioning to a healthier lifestyle. They have the professional strength formulas. They do have ginger, cayenne, garlic, and a whole lot more. So you can give them a call and ask for a free product catalog. That number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Of course, they do have a website. Check them out there, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Powerful tools and knowledge can't be beat, and that's what you're going to get at the folks at Apothecary Herbs. It's an amazing thing to take the power back, and it's just, you know, you and God's nutrition and medicinal herbs, it's a very nice pairing. You know, it is. It is. Can't be beat. I love it. It's like the world's best kept secret. All right. So I know we got a few minutes before we got to take a little break here. So we're going to jump start our next segment, and we're going to be talking about heartburn and some of the superbug infections. And by the way, I know people have been calling and wondering about the coronavirus, and I'm not worried because I have immune boosting tools, and I have herbs that have viral inhibitors in them and herbs with germicides in them to get germs and bacteria. So if I can have tools like that, so can you. And God has promised my herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. You can stand on that promise all day long. So if you want to feel in good hands, God's hands, then trust in his herbs. And I think that'll take a lot of your anxiety and fear away. And fear and anxiety is from the devil anyway. So you have confidence in God's promise. All right. So we're going to talk about heartburn. A lot of Americans suffering from heartburn and lots of other digestive complaints, but it's kind of estimated we've got 15 million Americans that have heartburn. And they often are prescribed a lot of heartburn drugs, like your proton pump inhibitors. They're sold under different names. You got Nexium, Prilosec, Prevacid. The FDA is estimating 1 in 14 Americans are using these proton pump inhibitor drugs. And physicians also prescribe them for things like ulcers. Now, research is now indicating that your heartburn medicines are going to put patients at a risk of other types of diseases. So some physicians are recognizing, hey, that nourishing the body with better diet is the way to correct digestive disorders, not symptom management. So we're going to take a look at how we can protect ourselves. First, let's look at some of the side effects. Heartburn medicines that are prescribed today by doctors do come with lots of serious side effects. Really research your medicines before you embark on a drug therapy. So the proton pump inhibitor drugs, they tend to drain the system of magnesium that causes muscle weakness and a lot of cramping. So when minerals are dumped out of the system, it can prohibit a lot of absorption of other nutrients, and this further causes malnutrition and also bone weakness. Another risk factor while you're on these types of drugs, it also increases the risk of contracting a serious bacterial infection such as salmonella, food poisoning, Clostridium difficile, which is a bacteria that causes colitis, and also pneumonia. So there was a study that appeared in the Journal of Gut and Liver in 2016, and it reported that when the patients are taking the PPI drug inhibitors, there's a 6.7% likelihood they're going to get colitis. A lot of inflammation of the bowel. We were just there. So they reported that the drugs reduce the stomach acids, here we're back to the acids again, and allow the oral bacteria to multiply. Here we are with the gut flora imbalance once again. Sugar isn't the only thing, right? Now, in January 2016, a Scottish study published in the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology, they were stating that the popular proton pump inhibitor drugs cause colitis and intestinal infections. Now, patients also complain of a lot of withdrawal symptoms when they try to come off these drugs. And other patients find that when they do stop the drugs, they have digestive symptoms worse than when they took the drug in the very beginning. That's called rebound effect. You always have to research your drugs. A lot of drugs will give you rebound effects. So let's say you have insomnia and you want to take sleep aids. Eventually, they'll quit working and you're going to have insomnia worse than when you started. So always research that. Here is a quote from Marcia Lafayette. She says, I can't seem to get off these drugs, but when I do, I experience severe stomach pain. I can't eat anything. It feels like you have a knife in your gut, and it's very painful. So that's one of the withdrawal symptoms. And, of course, Dr. John Clark, he's a gastroenterologist at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. He says, the teaching for many years was that these drugs were quite safe, but there is this data now that's emerging suggesting our proton pump inhibitors may not be as safe as we think they are, end of quote. And then, of course, Professor Thomas McDonald, British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology, says, although acid suppression therapy drugs is often considered relatively free from side effects, the findings suggest that there are significant adverse gastrointestinal consequences of their use causing considerable illness, end of quote. Now you tell us, right? So where was this in the clinical trials? Well, the clinical trials weren't long enough, so that's why they, anyway. We got to take a little break. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Bust it.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money-back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Talking, I'm your herbalist Wendy Wilson. We're talking about heartburn drugs and how they cause a lot of infections, apparently. There was this report write-up, and this is at the German Center of Neurodegenerative Disorders in Bonn. It was published in the February 2015 Journal of Neurology, where they were saying these heartburn drugs increase a patient's risk by 44% of developing dementia. So although the report didn't come out and directly accuse the drugs and the companies that make them of causing dementia, they stated there was an association and a more research was warranted. Well, animal research studies showed that when the rats were given these proton pump inhibitor drugs, it increased the protein levels in the brain, the beta amyloids. And this protein is said to be causing dementia in humans, the beta amyloids. So similar reports did find their way into the University of Pittsburgh journal article at the American Medical Association. And according to Dr. John Clark, patients really should not use these heartburn drugs for very long, maybe just a few weeks. But he says that's not what happens. Doctors are recommending that they stay on them, even though they weren't approved by the FDA to be a long-term treatment. Now, according to Dr. Morgan Graham, he's at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, he says Americans are spending $10 billion a year on these proton pump inhibitor drugs, and an estimated 70% of the prescriptions are not warranted. You know, they shouldn't have been given a prescription for the drug. And he said 25% of the patients are put on the drug long term when they could have been discontinued in just a few weeks. What's with that? Somebody getting a kickback on a prescription drug. Well, if it's not generic, I would say, yeah. Here is a quote from Dr. Adam Schoenfeld. He's with the University of California. He says, a large number of patients are taking proton pump inhibitors for no clear reason, often for remote symptoms of heartburn that has since been resolved. So in these patients, proton pump inhibitors should be discontinued. And a year later in April 2016, University of Pittsburgh School of Health Science, they presented their findings that the heartburn drugs increase the risk of protein interactions associated with schizophrenia. Their work was published in the Journal of Nature. Frank, if we came out with a drug and it did all that, you and I would be flat in jail. We would be in jail. You know? I don't know of any herb that does that. You know what I'm saying? Well, and I'm not done. The proton inhibitors seem to be, you know, very busy producing all kinds of discomfort and pain. January 2016, this is another report, was in the Journal of American Medical Association. They were saying the proton pump inhibitors put your kidneys at risk. So the research was conducted at Johns Hopkins at the University of Baltimore, and they had a control group. They were followed for 14 years. However, within 10 years of their assessment, it showed up they had a kidney risk of about 15.6% of them. Yet another study in February 2017 by Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, they found that patients that are taking the proton pump inhibitors could experience what they described as silent kidney damage. So they reported that the more than 50% of the patients that are taking these proton pump inhibitors tend to develop a sudden onset of kidney damage and kidney failure. Like you wake up one morning and, oh, my kidneys aren't working. So their findings were published in the 2017 Journal of Kidney International. Here is a quote from Dr. Zaid Allah, Washington University School of Medicine, St. Louis. He says, our findings indicate kidney problems can develop suddenly and even gradually over time, eroding the kidney function and leading to long-term kidney damage and renal failure. Patients should be cautioned about the use of proton pump inhibitors and tell their doctor, and physicians must pay careful attention to kidney function if their patients are using proton pump inhibitors. And according to Dr. Allah, he says the symptoms of kidney failure would be reduced urine output, fatigue, swelling in the legs and ankles, a lot of edema, fluid retention. So, but, you know, the proton pump inhibitors, they're going to spread out on what it is they give you as far as a disease. More studies keep coming in on how devastating the long-term use of these heartburn medicines are. In November 2016, the American Heart Association, in conjunction with the Danish Heart Foundation of Copenhagen, Denmark, they stated proton pump inhibitors increase the risk of ischemic stroke or blood vessel obstruction in the brain. So this type of stroke, that is, it's the most common, and the clots are usually the cause blocking an artery flow. So their research suggests that the stroke risk is higher when taking your proton pump inhibitors. And here's what they found. The stroke risk increased by 21% if you take the proton pump inhibitor drugs. At the lowest dose of the proton pump inhibitor, there remained a slight risk of stroke. And at the highest dose on the proton pump inhibitors, stroke risk increased by 30% to 94%. That's huge. So the researchers cautioned people using these drugs, but most of the proton pump inhibitors have now been made available over the counter. Here is what one of the doctors in the Copenhagen, Denmark study said. This is Thomas Sehested. He says, at one time, proton pump inhibitors were thought to be safe and without major side effects. This study further questions the cardiovascular safety of these drugs. All these studies question this clinical trials from the drug companies on this drug. They had to have suppressed a mountain of evidence, unless they just did a short 2-week study and nothing materialized because it was short on purpose. Houston Methodist Research Institute, they conducted some research May 2016, and they reported that heartburn drugs accelerate vascular aging, increase the risk of the following diseases: heart disease or heart attack, kidney disease, and dementia. That was in 2016. So according to their research, these proton pump inhibitor drugs speed up the aging of your blood vessels and cause a lot of problems. Their work did get published in the Journal of Circulation Research, and the researchers point out that although these drugs are now sold over the counter, that they were not approved by the FDA for long-term use, making approximately 70% of the products sold inappropriate for use. Oof. John Cook, MD, Houston Methodist Research Institute. He says the proton pump inhibitors increase the likelihood of heart attack in adults by 16 to 21%. I mean, who needs to, you know, get a gun and commit suicide with a gun? You could just have medicine do it for you, basically. Birth defects. Let's talk about those. November 2010, Boston University Medical Center released their study on proton pump inhibitors increased the risk of birth defects during early pregnancy. The results of their findings were published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and the study reported that the birth defects seemed to be broad, and it did not list an increased risk of specific birth defect. So the drug seems to have a very different effect on the fetus, and they pointed out that a woman taking the proton pump inhibitors in the weeks leading up to pregnancy, but not during pregnancy, seemed to also have an increased risk of birth defect. Now, the University of Edinburgh in UK, researchers also in Finland, published findings January 2017 that the proton pump inhibitors when taking during pregnancy may increase the risk of childhood asthma. Previous scientific reports are warning that your proton pump inhibitors can increase the risk of allergies in unborn babies because the drugs seem to impact the baby's immune system. They conclude that pregnant women taking heartburn drugs will increase their child's risk by a third. And their findings did get published in the 2017 Journal of Clinical Immunology. Here is a quote from a Dr. Shaka, Director of Asthma UK, Center for Applied Research, University of Edinburgh. He says this: our study is reporting on an association between the onset of asthma in children and their mothers' use of antacid suppressing medications during pregnancy. End of quote. Well, so how do we fix this? Well, the cause of digestive problems is often the diet rich in alkaline type foods and mucousy foods like white flour, milk products from cows. So this encourages a kind of an overproduction of acids to neutralize. Old-time rural doctors and even herbalists would suggest changing the diet and add more acid foods to help balance that pH, which would reduce the amount of acids the digestive system is producing. So the acid pumps are coming on because you got too much alkalinity going in the food source. So if you start peeling back the alkaline foods, add more acidic foods, those pumps should settle down. Foods such as pickled or fermented type foods would be your acidic types. Pickled beets, kimchi, sauerkraut, fermented cabbage is your kimchi. And also you can also tap into some of the herbs that would help for digestion. You've heard in the first segment I mentioned slippery elm to stop diarrhea or dysentery, but it also soothes the digestive tract. So it's very soothing. Marshmallow root also soothes the stomach lining. And fennel seed removes bloating and gas. And gentian root helps the stomach prepare digestive enzymes properly. and helps the move out of the stomach faster and prevents overeating, GERD, acid reflux responses. Apple cider vinegar improves digestion and helps you extract more protein from your foods. Okay. So by eating less refined foods, less mucousy foods like dairy products, ice cream, cheese, yogurt, cow's milk, get a substitute instead, less mucousy. And if you eat more raw foods, the body's able to fix, because with your raw foods, you get a lot of enzymes as well. You can fix that imbalance. So Mediterranean diet seems to be a really good fit. Lots of omega-3 fatty acids. Those omega-3s helps with inflammation. Get rid of the sugar stuff. So if you switch to that, you won't have typically the research is saying you won't have the risk of cancer, heart disease, or diabetes with the Mediterranean diet. So you can actually resolve your heartburn with your diet. You don't need drugs. But like the first segment said, the diet expert Karen said, you tell people they can fix their problem by changing their diet, but it's the hardest thing for them to do. It's a mindset. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. And change your diet. And you'll be so much better off. So much better. Your quality of life will improve. Probably extend your years of life. And you won't give disease a foothold. Food is important. Oh, that old saying, you know, you are what you eat. That kind of just summed it up, didn't it? Right? And Hippocrates, food is your medicine. Yeah, sums it up too. So, and all the perfect chemistry is in food. But, of course, try to get organic because, you know, they're messing with the genetically modified. They're just changing things chemically. So you gotta do heirloom seeds, maybe grow your own. Get a garden going. Get a victory garden going. Victory over health and, you know, for the disease, for health. That's the victory you're going to have. So why risk your heart, your kidneys, your digestive, your brain to an FDA-approved drug when you have organic tools for the real cure? It just makes no sense to me why people just don't go out there and investigate stuff. Always ask questions. It's always about the questions you ask, right? Right? So start thinking about questions you should ask when you want to go talk to your doctor about a topic. You're not going to get volunteered information typically. Most doctors don't do that. So working in the healthcare profession, I could tell you they typically, you know, they're trained to prescribe. So that's there's their mindset. They don't know anything about nutrition. They don't know anything about the immune system. So, and if they tell you eat more fiber, did you ask them, what would that do? How does that help me? You know, ask these questions. Get them to explain it to you. Help it sink in. There's a chain reaction going on in the system. Just like sugar produces the inflammation blocks a lot of enzymes, creates a lot of bad acids, destroys gut flora. You get inflammation, you get irritable bowel syndrome or colitis. It's a chain reaction. We know, you know, cause and effect. So thepowerherbs.com has a bunch of stuff in their digestive category on their website or in their catalog. They also, you know, you don't need to have proton pump inhibitors. You just need to tweak your diet. Tweak. And be healthy. Okay, we've got a few minutes, and so we're going to talk about berries. We're coming up to spring, strawberry season. Are you going to go out and pick some strawberries, Frank? Do you do that? They have strawberry farms around here where I'm at. You can go pick your basket of strawberries. It's kind of cool. You take the little kids out there, grandkids, and they're picking away. You know, it's really good to have a garden and teach the kids to garden, you know. It's kind of a neat thing to grow something. There's life in the plant, right? I mean, the hardest thing for me was to get an orchid to, after they drop its first flower, to grow some new ones. So I figured it out. Orchids tend to like a little bit of distilled water, you know, along with regular water. So I've got 6 blooms on my orchid all of a sudden in a matter of a month. So sometimes, you know. Anyway, I love growing stuff. It makes me feel empowered. I love looking at it. There's life right there. There's lots of different berries out there. There's 20 different fruit berries. Many of these berries will save the day when it comes to health. Now there are some man-made berries designed to grow faster, to tolerate harsh weather, and grow larger than originally designed. In 1901, the Materia Medica Association in Chicago collected information on medicinal plants of North America, and many of them included berries. And at that time in history, medicinal plants were being documented like, well, never before. And the reason is they were preparing for a future regulation of food and medicinal sources. Now, in Dr. Wilder's History of Medicine, he revealed that the American Medical Association was organized in 1846 to boycott and ostracize natural physicians and other independent physicians who refused to be dominated by the pharmaceutical companies of the day. Oh, blackberries, Frank. You pick blackberries over there? Okay. Blackberries are awesome. So let's look at some of the berries now. And there's some studies out there. First, I want to talk about an herb called barberry. It has lots of uses, okay? Other than your blueberries, your strawberries, your raspberries, all these berries are wonderful, wonderful. But when we get to the medicinal berries, they tend to be highly concentrated in different types of nutrients. And they may not be as sweet as a strawberry. Bitter types of herbs are more on the medicinal side. Compact nutrients in there make them bitter. And they're bitter because you only should use a little bit, okay? So barberry has a lot of uses. And even the pharmaceutical companies have tried to match barberries. One of the alkaloids is barberine. It's a powerful antibacterial compound. And if you were to compare the barberine and barberry to the most potent antibiotic that the pharmaceutical companies can make, barberine exceeds them all. So the action in your barberry will stimulate the human immune system. It reduces blood pressure and attacks tumors. And we have documentation that the health benefits of barberry go back 2,500 years. That's some empirical history right there. So the ancient Egyptians often wrote about barberry and used it to protect them from plagues. In India, they used barberry to cure dysentery. Europeans used barberry for liver and gallbladder illnesses, and I love it for gallbladder problems. It's one of my go-to herbs for gallbladder. The Russians like barberry for skin inflammation, uterine bleeding, and high blood pressure. The American colonists introduced barberry to the Native American Indian, so barberry was also an ingredient in the Harry Hoxie's cancer formula of the 1930s to 1950s. Barberry, remember that. Plus, if you have a spasm of the gallbladder, the barberine and barberry stops the spasm, helps with that. So it's an awesome thing to have. All right, here's some medical journals on barberry, mainly on the bacterial fighting up part of it. A lot of medical studies done on it, and scientists and medical doctors concluded it contains major compounds that kill things like staph infection, strep, diarrhea, salmonella, shingles, dysentery, cholera, urinary tract infections, E. coli, yeast infections, just to name a few. But it is good for shingles. It has an inhibitor for the shingles virus in it. So main herb to have if you've had the shingles or chickenpox as a kid. Have that on the shelf ready to roll. So it has been used for many types of diseases over the centuries. There was a study on it that it helps your immune system make more antibodies, white blood cells, to kill bacterial infections. That's why the drug companies were looking at it. There was a study also out of Pakistan that they would use the barberine or the barberry. And what they did is they tested lab animals, and they gave lab animals liver disease. And then they gave the animals the barberry, and it seemed to heal the liver. So it indicates that something in the barberine possibly is healing liver disease. Pakistan physicians now use barberry for all liver disorders. And German researchers found barberry extract, when you apply it topically, helps with things like psoriasis. It has a bit of an astringent effect. Now, the Germans also use barberry to treat pink eye, conjunctivitis, inflamed eyelids, and sensitive eyes. United States has approved products that are made in other countries that have barberry in it to be sold here. Russian study showed barberry helps to lower blood pressure. It enlarges your blood vessels and stimulates uterine contractions. So pregnant women out there, you shouldn't use barberry if you're not ready to deliver. Another berry that I like is chasteberry berry. Long history there. Ancient chasteberry berry of Europe. Often it's used in balancing the endocrine system, which is the system that manufactures hormones. So chasteberry berries, also used by the ancient Greek physicians. Hippocrates wrote about it. He used it for inflammation. He also gave it to nursing mothers to increase their milk production. It was mentioned in Homer's Iliad, even, a symbol of virginity. And the Roman temple virgins carried chasteberry berry branches all around the place. The Middle Ages, the monks used the berries. It was called monk's pepper. So they used that. So it very nice. Chasteberry berry is awesome if you want to balance endocrine system. It's one of the six herbs I use for that. Some of the research on it, it helps with hormone levels, especially for women. So if you're trying to balance with menopause cycle, it's an amazing thing to have. A lot of people have looked at the chasteberry berry. Actually, female issues in 19 Germany, they've been using since 1950, so very safe herb to have. So you have a lot of tools and a lot of power out there with berries. Look at that. Yep, who knew, right? Make science jealous. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They do have some female formulas with chasteberry berry in it if you want to check it out. They do have the barberry bark and other things, so give them a call. They have the shingles be gone kit with barberry in it, so lots of tools, lots of information. Give them a call, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit them on the web, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. And I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time. Be well.